This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you today. Love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We're always eager to hear from you. You know that. And the way in which we do hear from you is by you calling in or sending us a message. Let me tell you how to do all of that. So we've got a toll-free number for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation with you. We certainly do. You can also get your message to us by going to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board for you. We look forward to receiving those messages from you. We invite you to let us know if you're a first-time caller, a first-time submitter, or a first-time text messenger, because we can receive your text messages as well. Just text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your name, how it is that you're listening to us, where you're calling from, and of course your message. We'll get it retrieved. Do know that message and data rates may apply to that option. If you're a first-timer in any of those ways, we want to know, because I have my little bell here. Yes, I do. And I like to ring it for you to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. Well, it's a Wednesday, and you know what Wednesday is on Women of Grace? It's Wacky Wednesday, which means that Sue Brinkman, who is not at all wacky, but she and I get a little wacky and a little weird through the course of this program. She is with us every Wednesday, and we talk about that which we see going on in the culture of the day that we think needs remediation, right? Things that are just so far outside of the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church, things that can really tear us away from the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. And so it is that we invite you to send in your questions through the means that we've indicated, or to call us with those questions so that we can receive them and respond to them. Sue is going to be with us on the other side of the break. So, you know, be getting those questions in your mind, and don't fear, you know, we'll try to get to you. You can call us now. It's always nice for us to start off with some calls in the bank there. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. We invite you also, and I like to do this at the beginning of the program and maybe to remind you once or twice throughout the course of it, we always invite you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. We've got all kinds of good things that are happening for you, all kinds of ways in which you can enter into a deeper understanding and appreciation of who you are, especially as a daughter of God. Women of Grace, the website, is really dedicated, as is our apostolate to women, to transforming the world one woman at a time. And we've got all kinds of great resources out there for you. Do want to mention a couple of things that are coming up. Last evening, I had been sharing with you I was sharing with you that we were going to offer a morning of grace for you yesterday, and that did happen. In addition to that, we have an evening of grace coming up for you tomorrow evening, November the 14th. All of the information is at our website. You simply need to get out there and to take a look at that. And, you can register right there. It's a free event. We need to have your contact information so that we can send you the link, of course, so that you can join us. These are beautiful, beautiful events for women that take place online and in person. The online gives you an opportunity, however, to join us if there's not one that goes on in your area. But who knows? Maybe the Holy Spirit will prompt you to be a woman who will go through our foundational study and will bring other women through it, and you can start your own morning and evenings of grace in your area. The ones that are online, a great way for you to be introduced to our work and what it is that God is doing through Women of Grace. This Saturday, I'm so excited. That's not too many days away anymore. This Saturday, I am going to be at St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church in Wildwood, Florida. That's nestled right there in Central Florida in the Villages area. I'm going to be presenting a day, a retreat day, called Advent Walking with Mary. It's going to get started at 8 in the morning and at 2:30. It starts with Mass. You'll have breakfast. I'll give a talk. We'll have lunch and I'll give some talks. I'm not exactly sure of the where the talks land in the course of that unfolding of the day, but I do know that I'm giving three talks, and I do know you're going to eat twice, and I do know that you're going to have an opportunity to go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at 8 a.m. That's the most important part of the day, I may say. We would love to join you there. This event is for men and women. For men and women, what a nice opportunity for couples to attend this together, or for individuals to come by themselves and meet other individuals who are serious about their faith. That's Advent Walking with Mary, hosted by St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church in Wildwood, Florida, this Saturday, November the 16th, beginning at 8 a.m., ending at 2:30 p.m. It's just going to be an opportunity for us to prepare ourselves for the coming of the season of preparation, which is Advent, as we make our journey to the creche of the Christ child. So certainly am hoping that you're going to join us for that. I'm very excited about it. So happy to be working with St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church. This is their event. What a grace for me to have been invited to be there for it. So please do join us for that. Jack is going to be with me. We'll be driving to Florida tomorrow night. So all of that being said, what a beautiful, beautiful time we're going to have there in Wildwood, Florida at St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church. February the 3rd, mark that date. Listen, ladies, this would be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Christmas present for you from your husband. Benedicta Institute for Women, week-long winter immersive. We're going to be studying Our Blessed Lady. It is an offering in the theme of Mariology and the Feminine Genius, which is part of our certification program for a certification in Catholic women's leadership. We have been front runners in this area of Catholic women's leadership for a number of years. The Read of God, Our Lady in Scripture and Devotion is the theme. We're going to be looking at Carol Hauslander's book, The Read of God, but we're going to be dipping into far more than Carol's book. We're going to be dipping into some other courses of study that will take place there, including Brant Petrie's book, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary, Unveiling the Mother of the Messiah, and Dr. Edward Sree's book, Rethinking Mary in the New Testament. So we are very, very much looking forward to this opportunity. We want for you to join us. All of the information about that, again, is at our website. And so is, you know, a further discussion, a broader discussion of what the Benedicta Institute for Women is all about. And you can access all of that simply by going to our website. In addition to that, our New Age blog is there, right? Sue Brinkman is with us. She is the one who pens that New Age blog. She answers your questions there. We've got over 1,700 entries up there. My gracious sake, she's a busy woman. We keep her even busier because she's got a podcast in our library, Grace Under Fire, Exposing the Darkness, and she is with us every Wednesday. And in addition to all of that, she leads our book studies. Oh, my heaven's sake. This is 111. What do I want to say? Evangelistically minded woman. And we're going to be with her on the other side of the break. Get your questions going. It's a wacky Wednesday. What weird and wacky stuff do you see going on? 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us today. Looking forward to it. Stay tuned. Well, welcome back, friends. You hear that music. I say that to you every time it's Wednesday after the first break, right? It lets you know that it is Wednesday in case you've forgotten what day of the week it is. Sue Brinkman is with us on Wednesdays, and we talk about the weird and the wacky. We talk about stuff going on in the New Age, stuff that people get involved in, and oh my goodness sakes, it is to our spiritual peril to get involved in all of these things. We take your questions on these days because we certainly do want to make certain, to the best of our ability, that we help you steer clear of those kinds of things that can really compromise your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and put you into that spiritual peril that I mentioned about a little bit earlier on. We're taking your calls today, as we do every day. So happy to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us toll free here in North America. In addition to that, we do invite you to join us out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply use the chat feature there and put in your question or comment. We'll get it retrieved. We'll get it up on the board for you. We have Matt Kubensky answering phones today. Michael McCall is there to do the social media work for us. Rich Jesse is back in the saddle again. Yes, he is. We're happy to have him back in studio with us. I do want to let you know, too, that you can text your questions to us. Text EWTN, those letters, EWTN, to 58177. Wait for our response, then put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we will get it retrieved. Do want to let you know, too, that we've got a brand new men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints. It is given to us by Father Wade Menezes, and it's beautiful. Anything that Father Wade does, you can be assured, is absolutely orthodox in its presentation, but also very articulately constructed, and there with a whole lot of paternal love for each person that will read this. Ladies, I'm just saying that this would make a great gift for your son, a great gift for your husband. Ladies, if you're engaged, a great gift for your fiance, a great gift for your dad. Stand firm, be strong. I just love the title right there. I mean, it just kind of breathes masculinity, doesn't it? Stand firm, be strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints by Father Wade. As I say, it's beautiful. It includes practical daily reflections for men, and no matter their vocation, right? And those beautiful daily reflections are comprised of Scripture and Saint quotes. And then Father offers a relevant meditation that is really meant to jumpstart and strengthen the man's spiritual life. And it's a journey of 6 months, which I'm sure when that journey comes to the end, the individual, the gentleman, is going to want to repeat and go back through. We're never in the same place spiritually, nor is our life ever the same, right? So it's always going to be timely. The wisdom of the book is going to help cultivate virtue, root out vice, and prepare someone to put on the armor of God for the daily struggle and withstand trials, both at home and at work. So we invite you to get that book. It's going to be great. In the meantime, I invite you to get out to our website, take a look at our upcoming events. Like I was telling you before the break, we want you to join us. Phone lines are lighting up already. That makes me giddy with joy. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way you can join us. Now, without further ado, let me introduce you to Sue. Good morning, Sue.
Oh, I can tell she's rhyming everything right now. This is going to be a good day. This will be a good day.
I think I'm over. I think I'm on caffeine overload or something. I don't really know.
I need some of that coffee you're drinking. Please send my way.
Well, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. It is another wacky morning out here, isn't it? I'm telling you, the Lord has a way of doing things. I just happened to publish on, I guess I wrote this Monday, on UFOs, what if the church teaches on UFOs. And wouldn't you know it, today there's a big meeting in Congress to further pull the veil off of all the research that the government has been doing since, what, World War II? On UFOs to try to release them. I thought, oh my Lord Jesus, you had that in mind for me. And it's, you know, I put everything aside and I thought, today is UFOs. I'm going to look into UFOs. What does the church teach on UFOs?
I heard that in the news this morning and I thought, you know, I wonder what Sue's going to talk about. And here you are. But I love how the Lord is preemptive, right? I mean, you know, he just amazes me because he sews together, you know, I think he sews together these shows in a way that only he could possibly do. So I'm excited to talk about this. I can remember this as a little girl, you know, growing up when I grew up, and, you know, in the 60s, there was so much talk about UFOs. And I could tell you the truth. I was scared to death. I was scared to death to, you know, think about them, to look up at the sky. I was scared. It really frightened me a lot. As I've grown older, I decided that they didn't exist. But now, I'm thinking there's so much evidence and there's been so much mystery that surrounded this from a governmental point of view. So you've been digging into it. So tell us, what do you think?
Yeah, it's really came to the forefront last year with that testimony from the former intelligence official. His name was David Grush. And he told Congress that the U.S. government actually retrieved crashed UFO vehicles, and inside of them were non-human biologics. That's what they called them. That's the government lingo. The way, why don't you just say ET? But they say non-human biologics were inside. and they have been attempting to reverse engineer the technology that they found. I mean, you know they're going to try to do something with that. They're going to try to figure this stuff out. So it's really come to the forefront. And I know that President-elect Trump has been very vocal about saying he wants to open up those records and let people see them just for the sake of the public knowing what do we know, what is out there. So anyway, the question for us as Catholics is, well, what does that mean for us? Mm-hmm. You know, what does that mean for Christianity, the subject of extraterrestrials?
Right.
The church has no position on that. First of all, I want to say that. There's no official position of the church on UFOs or the existence of extraterrestrials. But there's differences of opinion within the church on whether or not the existence of them would actually, in a way, negate Christianity. Now, Father Jose Gabriel Funes, he was the director of the Vatican Observatory. He's a former director. He believed that they could exist, and if they do, their existence would be in keeping with the faith. And he said something actually very beautiful. He said, just as there is a multiplicity of creatures on earth, there can be other beings, even intelligent, created by God. This is not in contrast with our faith, because we can't put limits on God's creative freedom. Why can't we speak of a brother extraterrestrial? It would still be part of creation. Yeah. But now his successor at the Vatican Observatory, who is Jesuit brother Guy Consolmagno, he disagrees. He went to Gorsuch, to David Grusich's testimony in Congress last year. He actually went there. And he commented to the – I don't know if he went there, but he commented to the press about that. And he told Congress that the U.S. government – you know, had retrieved all these UFOs and all these different things that were found. He said, but he was very unimpressed with the evidence for it and the findings. He said, we don't have really any better evidence of Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster or of the UFOs. He says, I don't believe. So at this point, he doesn't even believe they exist. But what if they do exist?
Yeah. Right? Well, I remember Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I remember when I was in high school, and this was following the Second Vatican Council, and our religion class was constructed very differently than it had been the prior year. And in that period of time, we discussed things that were kind of out of the bag. And I think, you know, that the teacher was a priest. He was very good priest, very good teacher. He was very young. I remember that much. But he wanted for us to kind of use the brains that God had given to us, right? And to explore bigger questions. And that was one of the questions he asked us. I remember it very specifically because, you know, I had that concern as a child. And the question was, you know, if there are extraterrestrial beings, if there are these individuals of intelligence on other planets, would Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection give them salvation as well? In other words, did that only apply to people on Earth, or would that apply to, you know, any kind of being that would be on any other planet? And I thought that was very interesting. The other thing that I think is interesting is that Jesus took on our humanity. So would he have taken on the life form of the extraterrestrial and gone through some kind of sacrificial offering there? I mean, these are musings. I don't even think that it qualifies as theological speculation. But these were the kinds of questions we were being asked. And so here we are now, all of these many years later. And here is, you know, a compilation of information that might suggest that there could be intelligent beings on other planets.
Right. And, you know, that speculation is something that the Capuchin father, Thomas Wynandi, I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly.
Wynandi.
Okay, he's a former member of the Vatican's International Theological Commission. I actually interviewed him personally many years ago on subject of intelligent design. A brilliant man. He's just a brilliant man. But he agrees with what you were just saying, that the discovery of rational alien life could falsify Christianity because church teaching is based on the belief that Christ is the ruler of the cosmos in his human form. And that the underlying human-centered narrative of the Bible excludes the possibility of aliens. And he said to, I think he told this to Levin, he said, everything was created through Jesus and everything will be summed up in him. It strikes me that there's no sense of a place for aliens within this understanding of the primacy of Jesus as a man. So he does not believe that that would be compatible with Christianity, would be the existence of extraterrestrials. Now, some have said that they're demons. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was okay. Let's talk about that in a minute. But you know, the question that I have with regard to this is, first of all, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He you know, under his own power, resurrected from the dead, under his own power, ascended into heaven. He is the God-man. So it's not so much that our faith would be negated. I don't think that the existence of them would negate the faith. I just think that there would be an incorporation that is something that we haven't really tapped into because there was no need to. I mean, that's what I would think. But who am I? I'm not somebody of that kind of caliber of thinking, nor am I somebody with that theological background or office within the church. But, you know, we can't negate the religion. The religion isn't going to be negated.
Right.
You know, our belief in Jesus isn't going to be negated. But, you know, and so what I'm taking is that he doesn't believe in extraterrestrials as opposed to.
He doesn't.
Okay.
Paul
and maybe
Thigpen
they don't exist. Who knows? We don't know.
We actually don't know that. We don't know what these non-human biologics are that they found. I mean, hopefully, you know, we will in the coming years be able to look into those records and see exactly what that is. And then some of our questions, I think, would be answered. But Paul Thigpen wrote a good book in 2022 called Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Catholic Faith.
Yes.
And he pulled in a lot of you know, prominent Catholics. Their voices on this subject, St. John Paul II, who speculated that God may have created intelligent life elsewhere, he had his mind open to that. And he also quotes Padre Pio, who commented on the idea, saying that on other planets, other beings exist who did not sin and fall as we did. This was a theory of Padre Pio. Very interesting that they exist and they didn't sin and fall the way we did. But then there's others who think it could be a demon. These are all demons. And all of this is demonic in origin. Daniel O'Connor, he wrote that book, Only Man Bears His Image. He's a philosophy professor at Hudson Valley Community College in New York. And he said that some UFO reports might be the result of psychological operations, or they could have demonic origins. And he said, in every case that I've looked at, he said, I can't find a single one that has solid evidence of a phenomena transpiring that a demon couldn't replicate.
So
in other words, he could see demons behind it.
Okay, so if that's the case, we know that demons cannot create, but they can assume, they can assume a form. So these would be demons masquerading in, you know, some type of an extraterrestrial guise, for lack of a better explanation, right? But the origin would be demonic, but they wouldn't be entities that were created by the demonic, because the demonic cannot create. You know, Satan is not a creator. He is a creation, and all of the fallen angels were at one point, you know, outside of time. They were angels adoring God who fell and became demons. But there's, you know, God is not constantly creating. angels. He created a set number. And so that would have to be the way it would have to be, because the evil one cannot create.
Exactly.
He can use what's been created, right? But he can't create.
Right, but he can assume whatever he wants to assume.
That's right.
He can assume any kind of hairy monster out there. Yes. I mean, he can make himself into anything that he knows is going to terrify somebody. But, you know, I liked what Father Longenecker said about it. He said that he believes the best explanation for UFOs and alleged encounters with these aliens is that fallen angels, he said, are at work in the world. Mm-hmm. And they do all they can to deceive human beings and to draw them into a belief system that doesn't include God. Mm-hmm. And there's no faith and without the necessary graces for their salvation. So if they can get a person wrapped up in these theories of alien visitations and extraterrestrial visitors to Earth, then they can get them absorbed and fascinated by any number of paranormal phenomena and distract them from God. Then if they can do that, they've succeeded in their diabolical mission. It's just a different way of going about it. And he said the way to respond to the whole subject of UFOs and extraterrestrials, he said, there is such a thing as extraterrestrial intelligence, and they're known as angels. That's what we call them, angels. And some of these angels are ministers of light, and others are ministers of deception and destruction. And he said, really, the thing that you have to do is understand that we are in a big cosmic war, and that once you understand that, he says, all that remains is for you to decide on which side you plan to do battle.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm a big fan of all of the men that you mentioned there. Paul Thigpen had on the show numbers and numbers of time. I consider him a friend, the same with Father Dwight Longenecker. And I like the way they're both thinking. And it's a fascinating question. I don't know. You can weigh in with your thoughts if you would like to, or anything that you find weird and wacky. This is the day to explore it, as we've just explored this topic, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live. It's a toll-free number for you. 1-205-271-2985 is the number to use if you're outside of North America. And you can text your question to us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Abraham, we're coming back to you, so hang on there. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, friends.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnnet Williams. So happy to hear from you today. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. We want to hear from you today. So give us a call here. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have this holy conversation with you. It's Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is here. We talk about the weird and the wacky on Wednesday. So if you've got a question about something, you're wondering if something is New Age, or you're wondering if something is an occult practice, if you're wondering if the church approves of different kinds of occult practices like tarot card reading or horoscopes or seances, or any of the other kinds of things that people are so attracted to today, do give us a call. Our topic du jour is on UFOs, and we're gonna finish that up right now. We're gonna get to Abraham. He's been holding. We had somebody that was holding and couldn't stay, but we've got our question, and we'll go ahead and answer that too. But our lines are open to you. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. It's toll free for you right here in North America. Sue, you know, I was thinking about what you said during the break here, and you were talking about the evil one will use anything to fascinate us, right? I mean, he is the fascinator. He wants to draw attention to something, to draw our attention away from the one thing that is all important, and that is union with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he will get us all caught up. And when we allow ourselves to get caught up in these kinds of things, then we are diverting our attention from our Lord. I mean, we can become completely consumed by it. And if there's a demonic presence that's associated with whatever it is that we've become fascinated with, then we can be assured of the fact that we are being led down a very, very perilous road to perdition. So we have to be very, very careful.
Exactly. And he's very patient. The devil's very patient. He'll do it in little tiny incremental steps that you won't even realize. You'll just start doing this one little thing, you know, reading your horoscope every morning, you know. Yes. One little thing like that. Oh, I don't want harm. I don't even take it serious. Blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. You're still looking at your horoscope every day. You're still looking to divine the future by means other than through our Lord Jesus Christ. And anytime you do that, and this is how he does it, little by little by little. And then he'll get you from that little bit of astrology every day. Then he'll, well, let's go visit this psychic at lunch, our lunch hour today. You know, let's do something different for lunch today. And let's go out and do that. I know of people who did that once. Secretaries, a bunch of secretaries did that at their office and all went out to see a psychic. And one of them ended up getting cursed after happened. So, yeah. Suffered for 10 years until a priest was able to discern what was wrong with her. Wow. But that's how he does things, though, very, very little in increments, so that you don't realize that what you're doing is actually hurting you in tiny, tiny increments. But it all comes together. It's cumulative. And he'll get you in the end because that's his MO. That's all he wants to do is destroy.
That's right. And that's what he's out to do. I want to get to Abraham. Abraham has been very, very patient today out there in Oklahoma, listening to us via iHeartRadio. Hello, Abraham.
Hello, hello. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, goody, goody. Here. Yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so happy to ring my bell for you.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Listen, I had a question, and with your topic that came up, you just scrambled my mind. I mean, totally scrambled.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, you know, my question was on the strangeness and that's going on over here after the election. A lot of these Democrat people are just, they're losing their mind, and or at least it appears to. I mean, you know, they're being ridiculous, and then you start talking about extraterrestrials, and it dawned on me that that's proof that they exist because they sprinkled dust all over the earth and it affected the Democrats, and now they're going nuts.
Well, that's one theory, Abraham.
That's why they call us Wacky Wednesday.
I love it. Oh, golly gee, Abraham, that is too funny. Well, I will tell you, I think that what you're pointing out about what's happening in the aftermath of the election, especially among some women, the 4Bs and the women that are shaving their heads and all of this that's going on, you know, and you know, your the note that I got from you is, you know, some women, you know, they're actually promoting women divorce their husbands if they voted red. I mean, all of this craziness points to the way in which somebody can become so obsessed with something that they lose all consideration of the rational. And one thing that I can say about our Lord is that he is rational. You know, everything in our faith is rational. What does that mean? It's logical. God himself is logical. Everything about God is logical. The way in which he created the earth, the way in which he planned for man, the way in which he built a habitat for him on the earth before he created man. Everything, you know, the ordering of the cosmos, the sun setting and the sun rising, or the sun, you know, the movement of the earth on its axis. I mean, all of these things, this is all logical. So God is rational. When we act irrationally, then there is something the matter. There's a disorder that's going on there, whether it's a mental disorder or our life is disordered because we're filled with sin, or because we have become obsessed with an ideology. And that's what we have. Mm-hmm. That's what we have in these women. They've become obsessed, maybe even possessed, I don't know, with an ideology. And ideology is always related to an agenda that is in some way political in nature. And that's what's happened. That's what's happened with these people. Sue, do you want to comment?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The thing that came to my mind the minute I saw Abraham's comments is that divisive.
Yes.
And who is the divider? Who is the divider? Satan.
That's right.
You know, making, you know, Democrats and Republicans fight each other like this. Why? It's just a difference of opinion. We all live together on this earth. That's There's right. so many people of different I think that's what makes America so beautiful. that we have all of these cultures and all these different people around us. Why are we fighting with each other? Because they're not like we are, thinking the way we do. So I see divisiveness, and I see the hand of Satan in what these women are doing there. They're being manipulated by him. They don't realize that, of course, but they are. They're being manipulated into, you know, turning against their husbands if they voted red. I mean, he's trying to destroy their family over something like this. Yeah. And you're right, John. It's because they've allowed an ideology to overcome them and to take them over.
Yes. That's absolutely why. True. Yeah. And you know, obviously, we stand by the teachings of the church. And so we base our political decisions on how nearly a candidate aligns with that which we know is true, good, and beautiful according to the teaching of the church. So, you know, that is not irrational. That, again, is a continuation of logic. It's a continuation and a follow-through on that which we say is true. So you had another comment you wanted to make there, Abraham. I want to give you your time.
By human definition, I mean, and I'm talking about, you know, rational and making sense. God is the greatest extraterrestrial there is.
That's right.
I mean, he's everywhere, and I mean, he's not a human being. So if he's not a human being by our standards as we know it, he's the greatest extraterrestrial there is.
Yep. He's supraterrestrial, right? But he did take on flesh. You know, the word was made flesh and dwells among us. So the second person of the Blessed Trinity took on flesh. But you are right. God, in his essence, is pure spirit.
And who else but an extraterrestrial could do something that powerful?
Yeah, well, God could. But you are right. We do know that God, who is pure spirit, and truly, you know, like Sue, you pointed out, you know, the angels, which are creations of God, are non-corporeal, right?
That's
they're
right.
Pure spirit.
Right. They're spirit.
So they're above the natural. I mean, what is extraterrestrial? The word, you know, terrestrial is of the things of the earth. So extraterrestrial is something beyond.
Beyond the earth, right.
So, you know, so anything that is not corporeal would be extraterrestrial by its you know, root definition, not necessarily the way that we use it today. Abraham, thank you so much. I hope that your mind becomes unscrambled. It wasn't our goal to scramble your mind, but I can understand. And you gave us a jolly laugh, and I really appreciate your insights. Thank you so much. God bless you, Abraham.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, don't be a stranger. Call back again. We've got Ann with us, and Ann is in New Jersey. You can join us too, friends, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. She is listening to us via Sirius XM Channel 130. She's in New Jersey, as I mentioned. Good morning, Ann.
Hello, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm good. I just wanted to say I'm so excited about your show, and I have a couple of comments that I'd like to say. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, very nicely.
Okay. So I have a bad cold, so I may start coughing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I have this very close connection with Padre Pio and John Paul II. And I think the best thing for me is after prayer to just stay quiet and just listen and just meditate on just the thoughts of them. So here's the thing. I have a funny story to say, is that I feel as if they come into my heart and say to me, don't worry about UFOs, because would it be funny? They do say, wouldn't it be funny if God created us to realize that all us human beings on the earth, all the countries should be all together and to try to protect one another just in case there is a UFO, we should be able to protect all of us from that. And I'm thinking if the angels are just playing games with us, the beautiful angels, playing games with us to let us realize that China and Russia and United States should all just be loving connection to protect ourselves from what if there is UFOs. And too bad that's not really happening. But through my prayers, I laugh at Padre Pio and John Paul, and I'm thinking that that is what should be done, that China, Russia, all of us, all the other countries, should really just be afraid of UFOs and protect us and all get together and love to be able to say, let's protect all human beings on Earth, just in case those are evil. But I'm sure they're not. But wouldn't that be, I just want to tell you my funny story.
Well, thank you, Anne. I like it very much. I do want to say this. You make me want to bring, sing a chorus, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me, right? But that is God's ultimate goal for us. There was peace on earth until the evil one interrupted it. There is an assumption that you're making there, and that is that, UFOs would be unfriendly. We're not really sure that they would be unfriendly. I think that Hollywood has helped us to think that they would be, if they exist at all. And maybe they would be, but maybe they're just curious about us, and it's like, what are these strange looking things down here? I have no idea. Sue, do you want to respond?
I think that I like that they Hollywood tries to make us think that they're evil, but look at E.T. I thought that was a sweet movie. Look at how famous that movie was, E.T. Everybody loved E.T. E.T. Phone Home. I mean, I just remember that, but I loved it. What Anne was saying, that her whole story was just so beautiful to me, because I'm such an angel nut. I love angels. And, I was thinking, we would pray to the angels of the choir, the principalities, because the principalities are the guardians of countries. Nations, continents. I mean, that's the angels that you pray to for that. Like when I travel, I pray to the angels of the place where I'm going to travel. That's usually the principalities. And and I just thought it was beautiful what you were saying, that the angels are trying to help us all to learn how to live together and band together if they were to be hostile. Band together to protect one another from any kind of aggression from them. But I think they were still trying to figure out if they're really there. And what is actually really there? Because you think about all these spaceships and stuff, like especially the Tic Tac. That's the big one, is this Tic Tac that appeared, 10 or 15 years ago to some F-18 fighter pilots. And these aren't guys who are known to be flaky. they saw it and they photographed it on their radar and that sort of thing. But why don't we see any evidence of this on any of the planets of them building these things? Where are these things being built at? Where are they getting the materials from? Unless it's from some other galaxy. So the whole thing is very intriguing. I think it's very intriguing.
It is for sure.
But I wouldn't get too obsessed by it, because I think some people could, because of some of the stories that are out there about people being beamed up into ships and being experimented on by these ETs and that. So I just think that I like that whole idea, Anne, about just pray to the angels. The angels will protect us. God will protect us regardless of whether or not they're out there.
Well, we would know that they were foes for sure if, in fact, they were demons who were just masquerading as something like that.
Good point.
For sure. And Anne, I want to comment too, and then we're going to get to Maria, but I want to comment too on the way in which you pray. That's quite beautiful. The idea of spending that silent time to hear the voice of God in our heart. And sometimes, we can become impatient with that because we expect to hear the voice of God in our heart in a particular way. But God speaks to us in all kinds of ways. And oftentimes just that feeling of peace that comes over us in that moment is really, a characteristic, if you will, or a sign that the Holy Spirit is with us, because He is the Spirit of peace. So we want to just be open and receptive to that. So thank you, Anne. It sounds like you have a beautiful life of prayer. And that's very dear to Sue's heart and to my heart, too. So let's get to Maria. She is in Idaho today, listening to us via Salt and Light Radio. A shout out to Salt and Light Radio and all the good work that they do there. Hello, Maria.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
I am a first-time caller also.
Oh, well, goody. I'm so happy to know. I'm going to ring my bell for you. There it goes. Thank you. Thank you.
So I love you. I've heard you guys many, many, many times, but this is the first time I've actually called. This is the first time I've actually called any post through the Catholic radio.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, I'm glad you took the plunge.
Yeah. No, I'm just very intrigued, very surprised that I turned on my radio to go to the gym. And here I am sitting outside the gym going, I'm going to talk to these ladies.
Well, tell us, what would you like to share?
I just find it intriguing that you had such a deep conversation, a topic that you decided to talk about this morning. I've always been somewhat of a intrigued mind when it comes to that existence of extraterrestrial livings and life. I've always been intrigued by that. Funny that you said about Padre Pio. I'm like, I could definitely see that. He is my patron saint, and I love him. I can definitely see him say something like that. And I agree with you. We have to be very, very careful not to dive deep into the thought process, the proving yes or no. We have to trust the church to guide us in that to some extent, mm-hmm. because we can definitely get into a huge rabbit hole if we don't.
I think so.
Yeah, that's wisdom, yeah. Maria. You know, that's really that's prudential thinking there, and that's an important thing. And it is, you know, it is captivating. But we did spend a lot of time talking on it and about it. And the fact is, Sue, you know, I guess, you know, the church in looking at these things, you know, basically everything that the church teaches has its kernel in sacred scripture. You know, it might not be fully explored in sacred scripture, but it has its seed in sacred scripture. Everything, you know, all of the dogmas on mm-hmm. Our Lady, everything that we're mm-hmm. told that we believe, the communion of saints, etc., we'll find evidence for that in sacred scripture. And one of the things that I learned early on in interviewing so many theologians is that theology develops, right? Our understanding of God grows and develops as the Holy Spirit gives enlightenment. And Jesus promised that, you know, there were things that we wouldn't know or understand. He tells his apostles that, but he would send the Spirit who would make things clear. And so that development of theology, always in line with the prior teachings of the church and always in line with, you know, getting its genesis, its beginning from that seed that's in sacred scripture, you know, that is an ongoing thing. We're not going to know everything ever, even in eternity. We'll never crack the mystery of God, so to speak, right? Because it's unfathomable.
Absolutely.
You know, his infinitude is unfathomable, even when we're beholding it. And his mysteries are there. And I think it's going to be a constant, revelation to each individual soul, you know, what it is that God wants to share. Even when we see evidence of that in our own individual prayer lives. So it's interesting to think about. But I guess, Sue, you know, there is some wisdom in anticipating how the church would look at these things, given the fact that there seems to be, I'm couching everything in the conditional, seems to be evidence that this is a possibility.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And I think that these discussions are very good and very helpful for us, because we're using our faith, we're listening to the Spirit, we're trying to discern, you know, what is it about this? How does this impact our faith? And like you said, we don't really know yet. We don't know that this mm-hmm. is even real. And, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit hasn't come up with anything definitive for us, because we don't need to know that right now. We don't even know if it's real.
There you go.
We don't know. We don't have that. They're claiming that they have these non-human biologics, but I want to see the non-human biologics.
Yeah,
I
so do a lot of people. We want to see those papers.
Yeah,
we want
to
see what's written, what the government has on it. So, Maria, I'm going to give you the last word.
Oh, just keep doing what you're doing, and always be free to explore these topics that are very difficult.
Yes.
And always keep in mind that we have to approach these topics with the church's eyes, basically,
That's
as much
right.
as we can.
Yes. That's right.
There's a gentleman that explores this topic very heavily. His name is Dr. Greer, and he does little tours out in the desert that he calls them meditation tours. Mm. And I, you know, something like that for Catholics would be not recommended. Not recommended because we don't know that.
Right.
You're
that,
smart, Maria.
Yes, you are. You're very smart.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't. I wouldn't recommend for you to go in the desert with a whole bunch of people that don't believe in God.
That's right.
And because, you know, the state of meditation is very risky.
Well, that's exactly right. And if you listen to Wacky Wednesday with any regularity, you hear Sue talking with us about that all of the time.
Right, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much for your call, Maria from Idaho. I don't know if we've got time to get to Maria in Houston, Texas or not. I will just see. We'll try really fast. Hey, Maria, how are you? Oh, I don't think that Maria's up. Okay, she's not up for us. Okay, so she's not ready for us. And we don't have time. Maria, call back tomorrow. Sue, fantastic topic. Really interesting, I'm telling you. And we had such fun with it, too.
We always have fun
on Wacky Wednesdays, don't we?
Yes, we do. I love it.
I do, too. Well, Sue will be back with us next week, but you don't have to wait until then to find out more about what Sue has to say. You can go to our website, womenofgrace.com. Our New Age blog is there for you. Explore it. You can search by topic. Also, her podcast, Grace Under Fire, is available for you there. And remember to get out to EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com, to get a copy of Father Wade Meneses' new book, Stand Firm, Be Strong. And while you're out there twinkling those keys, stop by our website, womenofgrace.com. God bless you now. Bye-bye.